about how to stand firm when the world doesn't. I should have probably said how to stand firm when the world isn't standing firm, because we're living in a troubled time. Now, it's the most troubled time of my lifetime and most of your lifetimes, but it's not the worst we've ever had. Our country's been through some very significant issues. We've had Spanish flu at the beginning of last century. We've had depressions. We've had world wars. We've had Vietnam wars, Afghanistan wars, Iraqi wars. All kinds of things have happened, and we've been able to rise to the occasion. So this is just one of those times. It's a terrible time, but it's not unprecedented, because we've been through things before. But even with that said, I want us to learn to stand firm when everything around us collapses. There's some scriptures that I want to share. We're going to be in Matthew 7, and you can grab your app on your phone, or if you're watching this on your phone, grab a Bible. But Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus says this: "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter." Now, what is the will of the Father for us? It's to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. He says this: "On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and we cast out demons in your name, and we performed many miracles in your name.' But Jesus said this: 'But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law.'" So what he's saying here is basically that to build a strong foundation — you can write this down if you're keeping notes or anything — to build a strong foundation, you can't fake it. You've got to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You cannot fake it. And so to do that, he says you've got to start with Jesus. Now, here's what he says. He says, "Not everyone who calls to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." So we know there are going to be people that say that they're a Christian, that Jesus is going to say, "Hey, I never knew who you were." And so I'll call those fakers, for lack of a better term. And sometimes it's intentional faking. We're going to church because that's the thing to do. You know, for the first 17 years of my life, I went to church because that little bitty mama I have would have hurt me bad if we didn't go to church. And so we went because that's the thing to do. But I would have busted hell wide open had I died before the point where I accepted Jesus as my own personal Savior. And so he says, not everyone who claims to be a Christian is. And some people think, "Hey, I've just got to do this on my own." And they're trying their best to live the Christian life. And let me tell you something. I don't want you to fall into any category. I don't want you to be a faker. I don't want you to be somebody that thinks it's just a religion that you do on your own. It's a relationship. And so I don't want you to think that you're okay if you're doing either one of those. You've got to come to God on his terms. And so if you look at verse 23, he says, "I'm going to reply, I never knew you." And so you've got to come to God on his terms through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Through Jesus Christ. You've got to come through Jesus Christ. Jesus said this: "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate." Now, it's not that the gate is a skinny gate that's like an obstacle course. It's narrow because there's one gate into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, "You enter God's kingdom through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad," it says. That means on the highway that leads to destruction, you can do anything you want to do. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to have a relationship with God. But the narrow gate, that gate, you go through Jesus Christ. And he said, many will find that wide gate. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, but only a few ever find it. And so the majority of people in our world go their own way. And the few that find the gate and go through the gate of Jesus Christ, you get to go into the pasture of God. You get to go into heaven. So, you know, that wide gate, you do, like I said, anything you want to do. But you've got to find that narrow gate, Jesus Christ. You know, it's not, people say that all roads lead to the same God. No, they don't. All those other roads are on the wide road that leads to destruction, the pathway to hell. Mm. The narrow gate is the way to heaven. The narrow gate's the way to God, and you go through Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is saying here in this passage that wise people build their lives on the rock while foolish people build their lives on the sand. Look at Matthew 7, verse 24. He says this, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds his house on solid rock. Though the storm, the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is like a foolish, like a person who builds their life on the sand. And when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." He's saying here that if you're wise, when you hear what Jesus is teaching and you obey it, it's like building your house on a rock. But when you hear it and don't obey it, you're being foolish. And so I want to tell you tonight that foolish people build their lives on the sand. I mean, think about sand. When I first moved down here, I noticed houses were leaning like this, you know, and I don't want to tell the community where they were, but I first moved to Kenner, you know, and so there were these houses and they were leaning. Why were they leaning? They weren't built on a proper foundation. And we have sand down here. Now, I grew up in a place where you had to dynamite to get down, you know, to get the rock level to build a house on. But up down here, we have sand, and these houses weren't built, and it was soft, and it went. So think about it. Sand sinks. Sand will wash away. Have you ever stood on the ocean beach and the water comes over your feet? Now, if you stay there a while, all of a sudden your feet are covered, you know? And so sand washes away. Sand will, and Katrina just took out some beaches. Sand just won't hold up weight. It blows away. If you've ever been in the desert or on the beach where the sand is dry and the wind blows, the sand will go in your eyes. It just blows away. And how does that relate to our life? Well, we build our lives on things that are like sand, stuff like popularity, success in business, maybe your job, or maybe the kids and their activities. So many people get so wrapped up in the activities of their children. I mean, they're going all the time. I mean, they're living at the ballpark. Well, right now, all that's been taken away, and people are really struggling sometimes because their identity, the things they identify, the things they do, have been taken away. And you can't build anything worthwhile on the sand. And so why would people do that? If, you know, the storm's coming and you're going to do that. Well, building on the sand is easy. You don't have to have a relationship with God. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to go to church. You can sleep late on Sunday, right? You know, you don't have to do any of those things. I mean, it's easy. You don't have to dig a foundation. And so many times we look for the easy way to life. And when we do that, we're building our life on sandy things that aren't going to hold up when the storms come. But on the contrary, it takes a lot of work to build your life on the rock. You got to get up and go to church. Because, you know, people say, well, Pastor Robert, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's true. But to be obedient to Jesus Christ, you do have to be in church on a regular basis because he says, forsake not the gathering together. And so it takes work. You got to go to church. You got to read your Bible. You got to pray. You got to spend time with God. He's got to be first in your life. You've got to maybe join a Zoom Bible study, you know, and things like that. It's work. But, you know, building your life on the sand is easy. And so let me tell you why it's important that you don't build your life on the sand. Storms are coming. Storms are coming. Look what Jesus said. When the rains and the floods came, he didn't say if they come. He said when they come. You look at our country, we're just over 250 years old, and we've had depressions, we've had wars, we've had all kinds of things happen in the life of our country. Rains and floods have come. And in your life, rains and floods are going to come. Mm-hmm. And the wind beat against that house, and it will collapse with a great crash because it was built on the sand. Storms happen. I mean, we're in a storm right now. This virus is a storm. But let me tell you something else. 20%, whatever it is, 25% unemployment is a storm. Mm-hmm. And so you say, well, 75% are still employed. That's great unless you're one of the 25%. And so, you know, jobs and the lack of jobs, that's a crisis all in itself. That's a storm. And so to build a foundation, a strong foundation, you've got to build your life on the rock, because storms are coming. We're going through one. We'll go through another one in a few years. You personally may be going through different storms. We've got people in our church fighting cancer. We've got a man fighting in our church that fighting for his life. He's had surgery after surgery after surgery, trying to correct problems, and one surgery leads to another problem. And so all kinds of things. You've got to build your life on the rock of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it's wise, like a person who builds their house on the solid rock." I want you to think about it. Rocks don't blow away, do they? The wind can blow, and that rock's just going, the big rock's going to sit there. You can build a building on a rock, and it's going to stay there. They don't wash away. They don't sink. All of those things. So when you build your life on the rock of Jesus, guess what? You're going to stand firm when those storms come. So how do you build your life on the rock of Jesus Christ? How do you build your life on a rock? And what I want you to think about this here, you know, we have sand, we have soft dirt up here. And so you've got to drive pilings down to where you hit something hard, and then you saw those pilings off level and you build a foundation, right? And so the first piling I want to tell you about tonight is you've got to personally receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. That's the foundation. All the rest of these things don't matter if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You see, you've got to personally receive Him as Savior and Lord. God loves you. He created you. Psalms 139 says He created you wonderfully made. He created you to have a personal relationship with Him. Remember in Genesis, it talked about God would come and hang out with Adam in the garden. And when He was looking for Adam after Adam and Eve sinned and they isolated themselves away from God, you see, God was just coming to hang out. And that's what He wants to restore in us. We were created for that. And here's the thing. Here's the problem. Our sin keeps us from having a personal relationship with God. You've got to understand that. Pastor Kathy one time, she'd spoken at a ladies' function, and this one lady said, "I really want to become a Christian." And so Pastor Kathy held her hand, and they began to pray. And she said, "Dear Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner." And the woman looked at Pastor Kathy and said, "I'm not a sinner." "Well, let me tell you something. Yes, you are. I am. You are. We all are. The Bible says, for everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glory standard." What's God's glory standard? Jesus. You don't have to be better than Robert. You've got to be better than Jesus. And none of us can be. And He says, what your sin earns you, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm so glad that "but" is right there. But the free gift. Because, see, we've all sinned, and we all deserve death, but God said, "I love you so much. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So I want you to maybe write this down as well. The third piling you've got to drive down is you've got to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You can know those things. You can know that God created you for a relationship. You can know that you're a sinner and that you need a relationship with Jesus, but you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." You see, Jesus, that's why when you can talk about God all you want to in culture, but you get out there and start talking about Jesus and people get all squirmy. Why? Because that name is the name above all names. And the devil knows when you start talking about Jesus, things are fixing to happen. And so he tries to cause all kinds of distractions. So Jesus said, "I am the way." He didn't say Buddha's the way, Muhammad's the way, anything else. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ." Why is that, you think? Why? You know, one time Pastor Kathy and I were on the plane. We were going to a conference, and we were flying next to a guy who was flying into Jordan. He was a Muslim. He was Palestinian Muslim. And so we were witnessing to him. We read a few verses out of the Quran. She did. And then she said, "I want to read you something." And she read for him from Isaiah.
Isaiah 53.
Where it talked about Jesus' sacrifice. And she asked him, "How do you deal with sin?" He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, we deal with sin because Jesus came and paid the price for our sin, and we're forgiven." And he hung his head and said, "We have to work for it and try and earn our way." And we know that doesn't work. And so the reason Jesus can say he's the only way is this right here. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time, Peter said. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. You see, no other religion has the leader of that religion die and pay the price for the sins. Mm-hmm. See, Jesus paid the price for your sins. He paid the price for my sins. Now, we're not going to all look alike. We're not going to talk alike. We're not going to sound alike. But we all have to have a relationship with Jesus. And so you can know all that, but the fourth thing you've got to do, the next piling, is you have to personally respond by receiving Jesus. This is the one thing you have to do. Those other things are things you got to know, but you've got to receive Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. Jesus said this, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, when you receive Jesus, he comes into your life, he forgives you, and makes you into his family. So how do you do that? Well, it's called repentance. You turn from your way of living back towards God. It's like doing a U-turn down here in New Orleans. You do a U-turn and go from living life your way to going back towards God. And so you invite Jesus to come into your life. You say, I'm turning away from my life. I'm going to turn back to the Lord. Jesus, come into my life. And as best you can, you allow God to direct your life. So you repent. You turn from your way to his way. You invite Christ in and you give God control over your life as best you can. And then, and that's the first thing you've got to do. You've got to have that relationship with God. Next, you have to develop some habits to help you grow. You've got to develop some habits that are going to help you grow stronger in your faith. I've just listed out a few. You've got to have a quiet time. Every day, one of the habits, one of these pilings you've got to drive down. If you want to stand when the storms come, you're going to spend time with God in prayer. The first thing I do when I get up in the mornings, I do my daily devotionals. Now, I'm working on sermons all the time and stuff like that, but I am going to seek God for what he has to say to me. And so Pastor Kathy is so good at this as well. She's just into her Bible in the mornings. I spend that quiet time. I do it on my computer. I'm reading through Logos. I've got a Bible study program that if you're part of our church, you have access to as well. But I spend that quiet time. I do my one-year Bible through there. I read some devotionals. I spend that time. Then you pray. And then maybe you do some Bible study, not just about reading. Maybe you take a passage and you begin to study. I was so excited. One of our church members, Nettie, just got a study Bible for her birthday. For Mother's Day. It was Mother's Day. Yeah. And she was so excited about it. Why? Because you get so much deeper when you get into a study Bible and begin studying. And then I believe you it's important for you to be in church is another piling you've got to drive down. And small groups is another piling you've got to small down. Some Zoom groups, so to speak. And so we have a couple, and we're going to be starting some more because I really think it's so convenient that we can have a Bible study together in a Zoom room. We can see each other and talk to each other. I can show you documents. You look at the Bible together and talk about it. And then meditation and witnessing. All these things are pilings that you drive in. Salvation, Bible study, Bible reading, prayer, witnessing, tithing, serving, different things. And you build that foundation on Jesus and your relationship with him. And let me tell you, when those storms come and when this storm continues, you don't have to worry because you're going to stand. If there's a resurgence in the fall, who cares? Because we're going to stand on the rock. We're going to stand on the rock. And I believe good things are going to happen. The Bible promises that good things are going to happen, that God causes good things out of terrible things for his people. And I believe they're going to not only come up with a vaccine for this thing, but a treatment for this thing. I mean, the flu is terrible. And then all of a sudden we have Tamiflu, or we're going to have something that's going to have coronavirus in it, that'll be a treatment that will help this thing be less contagious, better, and all those kind of things. But it doesn't matter because we're going to stand on the rock. We're going to build our lives on the rock. And when storms come, whether it's a virus, whether it's a job situation, whether it's a teenager not doing or a kid not doing what you want them to do, you're going to stand firm. I want you to bow your heads wherever you are, because the first thing you've got to do is have a relationship with Jesus. And so bow your heads and close your eyes unless you're driving. I want you to just pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God, I admit to you that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. Please come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit to live for you each and every day so that I can spend eternity with you one day in heaven. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just pray that prayer, you're now a child of God. Remember, 1 John, Jesus said, for all who receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. Your sins have been forgiven, and now you can begin building your life on that firm foundation of your relationship with Jesus. Let me tell you something. Nobody can take that away from you. Jobs might come and go. People leave your life and stuff like that. But that relationship with Jesus, he never leaves. And so he won't leave you nor forsake you. So you can build on that foundation. Now I want to close with a prayer and just pray for you. I want you to, we've got people in our congregation that are struggling. So Lord, we come together as a people with you right now, praying. My wife and I here together tonight. The people that are hearing my voice on Facebook. Lord, we pray for those who are sick. Lord, with this virus, we pray that this virus, that our doctors will come up with medicines that are even more effective than what we have at bringing cure, that people will revive from this virus, Lord, that they'll find a vaccine for this virus. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with cancer and heart disease and complications from surgery, God, that you will bring healing into their bodies. Lord, for those that we know and those we don't know who are sick, bring healing. Lord, for those who have lost loved ones or friends, that you bring comfort, supernatural comfort to them as only you can do. And so, Father, I pray for them. I pray for all these folks who are struggling. God, I pray for those whose jobs are on the line or who may even be furloughed or laid off or their jobs are gone, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that new jobs will be there. Lord, for those who own their own business, God, that those businesses will rebound and need to hire more people than they had before, God. Lord, we pray that your blessings on your people and your protection on your people, God. We'll give you all the glory for the miraculous things that you are going to do through this time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're so glad that you joined us tonight. Once again, we're not going to be physically meeting or having church in our church building Sunday. We're going to have the worship team and we're going to preach from there. But we're not having people in the building to do that yet. We're going to wait at least a week. And as Pastor Kathy explained, we want to be safe. And let me tell you, even when we do start, if you don't feel comfortable being out around, I know we've got people that go see family members that are elderly and don't want to take any germs to them and stuff like that. That's the reason we hadn't gone to see my mother. Mm-hmm. We don't want to take her anything, you know. Yeah. And even though we don't have it, we don't want to pick up a germ somewhere on the way. So join us on Facebook Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 10:45, and we'll have the band, we'll have the words up and all that kind of stuff so you can see. We'll figure out a way to do that, and so we just look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Want to say anything better? I'm so glad you joined us. And